It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
From out of doors, outdoors, out of the building, out amongst the people. That's where we like to be. We welcome you to Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We are live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. Glad to have you with us and glad to be, like we said, out amongst the people. We're at Total Men's Primary Care at 620 and Anderson Mill. I know some folks know it as the Valenti Plaza Shopping Center. Others say, hey, it's at 620 and Anderson Mill out near where that HEB is. We are conveniently and strategically positioned because my lovely fiance Linda would say we're in the perfect spot. We're right in between a Starbucks and a Panda Express, so it's good stuff here. Joined as always by my co-host, the pride of Northwest Williamson County. And we're actually across the Travis County line here just from Williamson County. But proud graduate of Florence High School.
Damn right.
And a former all-district offensive lineman. Highway 79, they knew him at Florence High School.
So I could run over to that traffic light and be back in Wilco like in the next 5 minutes is basically what you're saying?
You could certainly do that. You could absolutely
do that. I don't know that I'll leave you to do that, but it's good to know I've got the option.
Okay. He would be Jeff Howe. You know him best for his outstanding work at Horns 24/7. So we're out here at Total Men's, and we're glad to be here, not only because, you know, Total Men's is pretty busy these days and they got a lot going on, but in addition to that, there's other reasons to be out there. The Toys for Tots drive is going on, and the Horn is going to be out here all day today up until 6 o'clock, and certainly hope you'll take part in that. Also, if you need to get checked, if you need to get tested, therefore, I'll turn that one down right there. That'll make it a little bit better. There we go. If you are in need of getting tested for COVID, as we adjust a few levels here, this is the place to do that. Additionally, we're going to be giving away lots of great prizes. There's a pair of Chiso's boots here. We're going to be giving away also a family four-pack of tickets to the ice racing at the HEB Center. This sounds like something your dad would have been all into, the ice racing at HEB Center.
Yeah, the any kind of ice racing, monster truck rally, anything in that realm. That's
you would have been. He would have been on.
Oh yeah,
on
it's
board.
Almost like a rite of passage for me growing up, Craig.
I understand that. we'll be doing that.
We've also got a Pluckers gift card, Mighty Fine gift card, a lot of stuff out here. We've got Total Men's.
Dug out at the Dell Diamond. And we hope you'll come on out here, bring an unwrapped toy, and register to win a multitude of prizes. So we're glad to be here. Now, the only disadvantage, and it's not a disadvantage, but the only unfortunate thing is that we don't have our producer with us, John Donaldson, J.J. Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel, but he is behind the wall, and it's not a paywall. He's just behind the glass back in the Horn Studios this morning. How are you, Snoop? Are you okay today?
I'm great. I'm great. Missing y'all, but that's all good. It's
I miss your face, Snoop.
Oh.
Yeah, good.
So sweet.
Good to have good to, how'd your Fox 7 hit go this morning?
It went good. Dave is gone to H-Town now, so I did it with my non-crush but crush Amanda Salinas. She was looking
When you say non-crush but crush, we know better.
Yes.
We know.
Yeah,
you
well
know,
she's
we,
married.
We I know.
Two great
know. That's
kids.
Why you say it's that's why you say the non-crush crush, right?
Correct.
Yeah. The non-crush crush means I really kind of have a crush on you, but I know you're unavailable, so it becomes a non-crush.
And she likes Game of Thrones, so we kind of bond over that.
Okay.
It's random. Hey, are you going to have the folks at Fox 7 Snoop one day? Can you have them post like your Bumble profile or your Tinder profile?
That would make sense.
Flash it up on the screen real quick. Help you out. Throw you a bone.
Yeah, as the season gets slower, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. You got content to fill, Snoop. You got to fill that segment somehow.
All right, so here's what we have coming up on the program. In a few minutes here, we got our Whataburger Top 5. Top 5 high school football playoff matchups of the weekend. We've got those. Then we got a Longhorn notebook. And since Jeff was out yesterday, he's got plenty in the notebook to unveil to us today.
I will get to some of the All Big 12 stuff that I missed yesterday as it relates to the Longhorns. And, yes, we will cover Gary Patterson, Texas smoke, and everything thereof.
Yeah. The question is, how much fire is there to the smoke?
We'll get into that.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll do that. We do have Inconceivable. Jeff has offerings. I have offerings. It's Friday. You know what that means.
What does that mean, Snoop, since it's Friday?
Yeah.
The flaccidness increases.
I think that word would probably be flaccidity, you know, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
He says it with much more gumption when you're out of the building,
yeah,
Craig.
Right. So, obviously, it means Florida Man. We got
to grab that low-hanging fruit on a Friday.
I've got a Florida Man story. It's pretty dark. Florida Man, a lot of times, it's funny, even though it's kind of sad or messed up. This is not that funny. In fact, it's not funny at all. It is very Florida Man.
So I should be chuckling, thinking about what it is?
Yeah.
Am I going to feel really bad coming up at the end of the hour?
It's definitely Florida Man.
Okay.
It is definitely that. All right. So, like I said, we're out here, and if you said, where is it? 620 in Anderson Mill. So if you're coming from the south, you can go a couple of different ways. You can go 183, research north to Anderson Mill, hang a left, go a couple of miles, and it'll be right in the shopping center there with HEB. Just come on down a little bit past that. Or if you're coming the scenic route, up 22 to Four Points, you can do that. Is that the way you came today, Jeff, or did you go research to Anderson Mill?
Research Anderson Mill.
Yep. Okay. For those of us.
I've done Mopac to the good old Mopac Express.
For those of us who live just across the county line there in Cedar Park, it was just zipping straight over on 620. If you're coming up the scenic route, you go 22 up to Four Points and hang a right there at 620. Not that shopping center with that HEB. You want to come a couple miles north, and then it'll be on your right here in the shopping center. So 620 in Anderson Mill, that's what you need to know there. Now, before we get to the Whataburger Top 5, you had an opportunity to go see the Bears of San Marcos Baptist Academy play for a state championship last night. Didn't go the way they wanted to, but, hey, what a great run for the Bears this year.
I played the role of supportive husband yesterday.
That was nice.
My wife is the principal over there, the upper school principal.
Yeah.
So, decided to go check out the Taps Division I six-man state championship game. Emory Wiener out of Houston and San Marcos Academy. 69-24 loss, but, you know, it's for that team – you know, I was talking to some of the folks who work with my wife in the administration. They were looking back. They can't remember a time San Marcos Academy as a TAP school played for a football state championship.
Wow.
So I think for those kids, too, you know, they played a regular season game against Veritas.
Yep.
Lost that game. Got a rematch with Veritas in the state semifinals and won that game to advance. So I think for a lot of those kids, just getting the rematch with Veritas, getting that win, and getting to Waco for them was a really big deal. But no, they did the, you know, of course, after that, when my wife's on the phone, do you cancel school? Do you do a half day? Do you just do excused absences? So
what'd she do?
They decided to do it for middle school and high school. They did the half day. So they did like an 11:15-ish release.
Okay. Give everybody a chance to get back from Waco.
Yeah.
If they'd won, do you think she would have bagged the whole day?
I think there was a good chance of that happening, probably, yeah. But, you know, if you take days off, you got to make them up at the end of the year, so there's that to consider. But, no, really,
this is true.
Shout out Coach Chacon and everybody at SMA for a really, really good season.
Great job for them. All right, so if on cue, now, since we are to Friday, it is time for our Whataburger Top 5.
Now, it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's edition.
Here we go.
Top 5 matchups of the week.
Before you get to the Whataburger Top 5,
Yep.
Can I give one shout out?
Of course.
Shiner Refugio, round 8 or 9, whatever they're at this point in their playoff their playoff run facing each other. Shout out to Sark for showing up at that game last night and looking like, you know, something out of The Sopranos.
He did. He
with
was
the, with the sport coat and the, you know, the black kind of turtleneck.
He was there
with the phone.
He was there to see Mr. Brooks.
Yes, Dalton Brooks, 2023 prospect out of Shiner. He's got a Texas offer.
And he did not disappoint.
Neither did that team.
He ran over, around, and through Refurio, who was number one in the state, going into that game. Now, I've been on the Shiner bandwagon all year. I called their state championship win last year. And I said, with their size, I don't see anybody beating them, although Refurio has the best shot. Refurio had no shot. It was 35-7 at the half.
We were watching a clip before we came on the air of Doug Brooks
just
running for a touchdown.
Plowing over people.
At, you know, what is he, 5'10", 260?
Yeah.
That's not fair at that level.
It's not 2A Division I football. That's a guy who could play at the 6A level.
Yeah.
And they just plowed over Refurio. Beat him 55-14. In fact, Refurio scored his second touchdown in the waning moments of the game. So it was, and Refurio had a really good team, a really good season. They were number one in the final, you know, Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine polls. But I just kind of felt, you know, Ric Flair, you got to beat the man, and nobody's beaten that man yet.
Well, shout out to everybody who went to that game last night. I know I mentioned Sark was there, Blake Gideon was also there for the Texas staff, but
more than 11,000. Jammed into Victoria Memorial Stadium.
Overflow crowd. They had to bring in the temp bleachers. And when you just put 11,000 plus as the attendance because you really don't know what it ended up being, great, great crowd for a Class 2A game.
That's it. That's what high school football in Texas is all about. Yep. When people ask me, that right there.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Here's also what's all about high school football in Texas. Our Whataburger Top 5. Top 5 matchups of the week involving the area schools. Number 5, rematch. LBJ Fredericksburg, 3 o'clock tomorrow, Alamo Dome. What was it, Snoop? LBJ won the first match of, 40-14, I
think
it
correct.
Was?
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah. How you feeling this one?
LBJ looks manly. That's all I can say.
I really like their chances to not only win this game tomorrow, but also win their semifinal against the winner of the matchup between Chapel Hill High of the Tyler area and Little Cypress Mauriceville. Now, LCM is a great story that Eric Peavy, the coach of Beaumont Westburg, got him to within a heartbeat of a state title a couple of years ago against Longview, and they came up short. They had a late fumble late in the game, and Longview ended up holding on and getting the win. But Eric Peavy, in his first season at Little Cypress Mauriceville, has him in the state quarterfinal round for the first time since the early 2000s. It's been a long time.
And shout out to LBJ alum Andrew Makuba.
Yes.
Was named the, as voted on by the coaches in that league, was voted the ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year this week.
Absolutely. So LBJ Fredericksburg, number 5. Number 4, tonight. If you got nothing going on, it's right there in Jeff Howe's backyard in San Marcos. Liberty Hill, Alamo Heights. This is kind of unstoppable force, a movable object.
This is a Bobcat Stadium game, correct? Or is it Rattler?
This is, I think it's a Bobcat. Okay. Let me double check that.
Bobcat.
But, yeah, it is a Bobcat.
Thank you, Snoop.
And televised on KBVO tonight, too. Liberty Hill and Alamo Heights. Liberty Hill's slot T has been virtually unstoppable. Alamo Heights with a really tough defense. Held on for that 10-7 win against the slot T attack in Marble Falls last week. So we'll see what happens tonight. Liberty Hill and Alamo Heights. Number 3, they're not far from here. Lago Vista against Industrial. They're playing tonight at Alamo Stadium. They're at the Rock Pile in San Antonio. Can Lago continue its great run? They've been doing it with really good defense. And they'll take on the Industrial Cobras tonight. Number 2, you'll hear it tomorrow on the horn. Lake Travis and Brennan. 2 o'clock kick at Drip as I think that the Cavalier offense can really move the ball on the Brennan defense. The issue will be, you know, can the Lake Travis defense hunker down and stop that explosive Brennan attack? This should be a good game tomorrow.
Yeah, and I like that Brennan program, you know, kind of they're kind of the, they become the showcase program.
No doubt.
In Northside ISD. That's, you know, think about the, I think the last Northside team, I know Taft had a run to a state championship game. Was that back in 2001?
Well, Brennan was in it when they lost.
Robert Mayer. Brennan did it as a 4A, what would now be a 5A. Mikel Thompson took Stevens to a state.
Right.
But no, this Brennan program, a lot of new development out there in terms of that seems to where the population base in that school district is. And that staff has done a really good job building that program and keeping it going.
I did a state championship game, I want to say 2013, Brennan and a Denton Geyer team led by Gerard Hurd.
That was
quarterback.
It was Geyer's second championship.
It was.
Second in a row.
Because they beat Georgetown the year before. Number one matchup of the week, is there any doubt? It's Vandegrift and Westlake. We are just down the road, by the way, from Four Points and the home of the Vandegrift Vipers. But they take on Westlake tomorrow afternoon at Darrell K. Royal Texas Memorial Stadium. Snoop, how you feeling this one?
I think both teams have a chance to win.
There's getting out on that limb.
Hey, that's Snoop, did you get your credential situation figured out for this one?
I'm not going to be at the game of the decade, heartbreakingly. But I will
be in the studio
covering it from afar, and you know, that's all I can say.
I got you.
I know, you know, but it is what it is. You know, I want to take the handoff on the goal line, but I'm going to pass protect instead.
There you go. Snoop will be in the studio for the Flex ATX pregame at 1:30, setting the stage for both the Lake Travis Brennan game, which kicks off at 2. So Snoop will be in there 1:30, 1:45 to the booth with Mark Honig, Bucky Godbolt, and sideline Stu Myrie. And then also the Vandegrift broadcast, which you can hear on 101.9 and AM 1260. So Vandegrift and Westlake tomorrow, 2 o'clock, DKR, Texas Memorial Stadium. Should be a lot of fun.
It's going to be fun for those kids. And honestly, I know we get him in studio, and I've loved the weekly segments we've done. Our weekly segments with Coach Sanders also. But the fact that Todd Dodge gets to go back to DKR one last time.
Before, and first time to coach.
Yeah, that's wild. But, you know, I'm glad he's getting to go back one last time to kind of say goodbye before he rides off into the sunset.
True enough. So it's Vandegrift and Westlake tomorrow. That's our number one matchup at the Whataburger Top 5. Matchups of the week. Here's a high school football note I've been passed along. Good chance. Remember we were talking about the surprises, and I was talking about it yesterday with Greg Tepper, managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, about some of the surprises in high school football to be at the quarterfinal level. And one of those is Tom Ball. Tom Ball had to win on the last Friday night of the regular season to get in his fourth-place team. Shocked Cy Park in the first round. Really surprised them with Kendrick Perkins and beat them in the first round. So
Harold Perkins.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the former basketball player, Harold Perkins. That's exactly right. And what he announces his decision, on the 15th?
There's a lot of, on the first day of the early signing period.
You're right.
Yeah.
So they beat Harold Perkins at Cy Park in Bi-District, and they've been on a roll. Tom Ball has. Now they're at the quarterfinals, and they're playing Bridgeland. Connor Wigman, the outstanding quarterback from Bridgeland, who got hurt last week in their win over Cedar Hill up in Waco, was, they think it was a concussion, and going through the concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And early word I'm getting out of the Houston area is that Connor Wigman has not cleared concussion protocol. And, if he doesn't clear it by tomorrow, he will not play in the game for Bridgeland against Tom Ball. So that's just something to keep on your radar. Nothing official yet and nothing final yet on any of it. But so far, at least through last night, he had not cleared concussion protocol. So there's a... there's a high school football rundown for you.
Nice.
All right, coming up, we're going to get to the Longhorn Notebook. We're leaving a little extra time because Jeff has a lot to unpack with this notebook. So we're going to get to that. We do have Inconceivable coming up later on this hour, and much more as we continue to light the tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're out here. This outstanding Total Men's Primary Care Facility here at 620 and Anderson Mill. Come on out. Get your name in the registration box. Also, bring an unwrapped toy here for our Toys for Tots. We'll continue with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Craig Ray, Jeff Howe with you. And we're with you out here at Total Men's Primary Care here at 620 and Anderson Mill. Hey, want to remind you about a couple of things coming up. First of all, we're out here for the duration of our show. That'll be followed up by Shirts and Skins, Chad Hastings, and Ronald John Elling III. That'd be Trey Elling. They'd be out of here. Trey is Cedar Park resident like myself, so it doesn't have far to travel to get over here.
Not Trey Elling III.
Nope. Lucky God, Bull. Ronald John Elling III or just Trey Elling. It's not Trey Elling III. That's from the Department of Redundancy Department.
That's the only reason why I said that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Okay. and when you come out here, we hope that you can make a donation and bring an unwrapped toy and register to win a multitude of prizes. A pair of Chisos boots, a Good Stock gift card, a Pluckers gift card, a Mighty Fine Burgers gift card, a dugout at the Dell Diamond, tickets to World Champion Ice Racing. And speaking of that, it's tonight at the HEB Center. You want to talk about it? And Bucky and Aaron had a fun conversation this morning about that with Ken Reamer this morning at the HEB Center. And he was talking about how they've got these, you know, those spikes on the tires there to go around the laps around the HEB Center on the ice. So you're talking about the fastest, the toughest, most extreme flat track motorcycle and quad racers on the ice, ATVs on ice. There are tickets on the events page at hornfm.com, or you can visit us out here at Total Men's to win. So you can do that. Look forward to that. So keep all that in mind. We've got some other things we'll get to a little bit later on this hour. We'll have Inconceivable. We have our Supreme Lending Pick'em, you and Snoop,
yes.
Dude, right? Next
yep.
hour?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a championship weekend of college football.
Yep.
You got three championship games you are tasked with predicting.
We got the Big 12.
Yeah.
We got the SEC.
Yeah.
And the ACC.
The ACC. Oh, okay. No Big Ten. ACC. The ACC. Oh, the ACC is more compelling, I think, than what could happen to the Big Ten. We'll get to all of that.
I think that's our picks, right? Am I right, Snoop?
Or those would be the three?
Yes, that's it. Cool. And then two
what
NFL
games.
What do
you got for
games?
The NFL? Yeah.
Same old same. Chargers at Bengals, Patriots at Bills.
There's got it. I told you the rule is either Buffalo or Kansas City or the Browns have to
yep.
be in every week. One of the three has to be in every week. I don't know why that is, but for whatever reason it is for you guys. So anyway, that'll be coming up a little later on. Snoop is disappointed that he didn't get a chance to pick Cowboys because he clearly would have picked the Cowboys to win last night at New Orleans.
Snoop is always going to pick
every week,
right, Snoop?
Every week,
yeah.
Especially and now that I have given up gambling forever.
Right. Snoop's not gambling, but he's picking games
yeah.
for us.
Snoop is always going to pick the Cowboys.
Yeah.
He's always going to pick against the Chiefs.
Right.
And he's always going to pick the Browns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until Baker gets yanked. No, and I hope
so
he doesn't.
Okay.
That's why Snoop picks the Browns. I don't know what Patrick Mahomes did to Snoop, but he's always going to pick against the Chiefs.
Good point. Good point there. Okay. All right. Time now for the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
And before Jeff gets to football-related stuff, just a basketball reminder. Tonight, and it's an early evening tip at the Irwin Center at 6 o'clock, Texas, against UT Rio Grande Valley. Last night on Longhorn Weekly with Chris Beard, we were out of Pluckers, and we were talking about this. And, you know, he was talking about the party at the tower, or as Brock Cunningham educated him, the Darty.
And he loves the Darty.
He's all about the Darty. He said he uses the word Darty like 12 times a day now, he said. Loves Darty. There's apparently going to be an informal Darty at 4 o'clock out front of the student entrance, which is like entrance E there on that I-35 side, because the doors actually open at 5 to let the students in. So he said there's a rumor of one. If it winds up happening, he'll make an appearance. But he wants the students. This is the last game that the students will attend or are in town to attend before the semester break. So two things to keep in mind. One, he wants all the students to come out, you know, the last game before the break anyway, and then obviously any others that are in town around can come to the ensuing games. Great. But during the holiday break, there are five home games for Texas. Five. And all of those student seats, those ones that come down to the baselines, about 1,000 of them, are on sale for $10 to the public. You can do it online. In fact, it's on sale today, starting today, at TexasSports.com. So, or you can call the ticket office, but you can get tickets for $10, those baseline seats, those close seats down there, student section seats, for the five games. I think the first one's Arkansas Pine Bluff. And Buck and Aaron had the story. No, it was Isaiah. Zay had the story this morning about the coach at Pine Bluff having his team run gassers during the game. He's very upset with that. Wonder if he'll do that when they come to play. Have a feeling the Longhorns may gas them enough.
Were they in Ames for that? That happened
in Ames?
That's
right. It was in Ames. So they'll be here Tuesday, December 14th. Then there's the game against Rice 3 days before Christmas on Wednesday the 22nd. Then on December 28th, they have the home game. Who's the home game with on the 28th? Incarnate Word. That's right. Incarnate Word. And then two conference games. They have one against West Virginia on New Year's Day at 11 in the morning, and then against Oklahoma on January 11th, which is a Tuesday night. So there's five games left, and Chris Beard was really wanting to get the word out about that. You can get those student section tickets for just $10 there. You can do it online at TexasSports.com, or you can even call the ticket office if you want to do it. So it's a good deal there for those five games. But 6 o'clock tip-off against UTRGV. The reason for 6, clearly everybody expected Texas volleyball to win its first-round NCAA tournament match last night against Sacred Heart, and they did. They swept them. Now they get the Rice House, who they've already seen this year and swept. Rice swept San Diego. They play at 8 o'clock tonight at Gregory Gym. So, as Chris said, hey, we're going to play the game done, and then we're going up the street, as he said, going up to Greg Jim to see the second round NCAA tournament volleyball match between Texas and Rice for Texas to stay at home and host the Sweet 16 in the regional round. So just those updates for you for basketball and volleyball. Now to football.
Let's start with Gary Patterson. Okay. That's what everybody wants to talk about. I had checked on this about a week ago just to see if there was anything, because you started hearing some rumblings. At the time, as of a week ago, there was really nothing of substance between Gary Patterson and Texas. As you put it when we started the show, Craig, when we talked about this and teased this segment, how there is smoke there, but how much fire? I don't think there's that much fire there right now. So I think that's the key thing to remember in this for Texas fans wanting Gary Patterson to be a part of this program in some way, shape, or form. You're so very much in the beginning stages of this. Anything predicting on what his role would be, it's all speculative at this point. Here's what we know on this situation to be factual.
Okay.
Gary Patterson has talked to Chris Del Conte about a role at Texas. What that role specifically would be, again, it's all speculative.
Has been a conversation.
Yes. The reason why it's all speculative is Gary Patterson and Steve Sarkisian don't know each other.
Right.
So, and we mentioned Sark was at the Shiner Refugio game last night. Sark's main focus right now is the early signing day and getting to December 15th and closing out this portion of the 2022 cycle as strong as he possibly can. And don't forget, next hour's Longhorn Notebook, we'll visit with Mike Roach, Horns 24/7 recruiting editor. We'll get all the latest on Longhorn recruiting. So that's Sark's priority right now. So whatever's going to happen, I don't think is going to happen until after signing day. Gary Patterson's going to have some options here on what he wants to do with his future. If he wants to coach again, I've heard he's willing to take a defensive coordinator job if it's the right place. I think the analyst role is something that really intrigues him. And I've heard this from enough people now. Texas intrigues him. I think people forget his wife is a Texas alum. And Kelsey Patterson really views DeLoss Dodds basically like a second father.
I think she was a Texas Angel.
Yeah, the Pattersons are very, very close with DeLoss.
Yep.
So there's a lot of ties. Gary Patterson's got close friends that are some pretty prominent big money folks at Texas. So there's a lot of connections there. And I think Texas intrigues him for a couple of reasons, Craig. One, the connections, but two, I think for him, if there's a way to kind of get back to his roots of player development and evaluation and help Texas make this transition into the SEC, now I'm told that's something that really intrigues him. But what we know to be factual, he has had conversations with Chris Del Conte. He's intrigued by Texas, but it is putting the cart way in front of the horse to suggest anybody on the staff's immediate future is in danger or that there's anything imminent. It is just it's mutual interest at this point.
Okay.
But keep an eye on it because, look, something could materialize. Maybe nothing happens. I don't know. But the fact that, you know, Chris Del Conte is at some point, I believe, going to get Gary Patterson and Steve Sarkisian to the table together, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I think your point is well made that it nothing almost certainly would happen before signing day because, as you pointed out, Sark was in Victoria last night. He was in Texarkana doing a home visit the night before last, wasn't it? And because I saw things on social media there, obviously with the Texas commit up there. So he's very, very
– he's been all over the place.
He is all over the place. And he said he would be. When we did our final show last week, he said – I asked him what the timetable would be like, and he said, well, when this game's over, we're all on the road, and we're – doing home business, and we're at games, and we're doing this and that. He said there's a lot of work ahead. So clearly he and the staff have been, you know, out on the road working it hard. So he's going to rarely be in the office here over the course of the next couple of weeks up to signing.
And obviously next week the plan for him would be that's when those heavy hitters left on the board that are potentially going to make their decisions early, a Cam Dewberry, a Devon Campbell, that next week leading up to that final visit weekend, that's when Sark's going to do those in-homes. A lot of it's commits right now and getting those school visits and home visits out of the way, but next week will be the week where those priority targets left on the board for this early signing period, that's where you'll see Sark out visiting those spots.
Interesting that he's mixing that with, say, being in Victoria last night with a 2023 commit out there.
Yeah, and honestly, for a guy like Brooks, it's – for anybody in the 23 class, the game evaluation is good because you really only get one of these trips kind of per school if you're the head coach. So it's 23. You can't really have contact with those guys anyway. So yeah, might as well just make your presence felt.
Make your presence. Be out there so that people know you were there and that young Mr. Brooks knows you're there as well.
Yeah, I was Dalton Brooks has a Texas offer. I don't know where Doug Brooks is going to go, but wherever he ends up going, you're going to get a heck of a football player. So that's it on Gary Patterson. We'll take your questions on his specs. Text line 337-3776 if you got anything. I want to get to a couple other items, Craig, some that I missed yesterday.
Yes.
Some that are still coming in. So third current Longhorn to hit the transfer portal did this morning. Marcus Tillman appeared in the transfer portal. Didn't play this year. It really felt great. Yeah, and this is a guy that, you know, one thing that really kind of I was taken aback by early in Marcus Tillman's career, when Derek Johnson was doing some TV work for LHN, Derek Johnson would go to practice and come back, and Marcus Tillman was the guy that he would talk about. So I'm thinking, okay, if you've done enough to catch Derek Johnson's eye, I'm going to pay attention.
Right.
Craig, he just never was the same. He had a really bad knee injury his true freshman year, that fourth game against Oklahoma State, and really never got to the point where he fully recovered. So I think maybe he goes back to Florida and goes to a G5 or maybe an FCS and gets the start over, but the injury for him is really what did him in. But you also had Deli Adeyeway. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk much about Deli, but you know, we talked about briefly a few weeks ago when it happened. Maybe it was a few months ago now. I don't know. The whole season seems like a blur at this point. But them trying to experiment moving him to that buck position and just, you know, Deli's a good athlete. You know, he's been a productive player at Texas. Just trying to find a home for him. Nothing ever really clicked.
I think it was the Oklahoma State game. I remember when I sat down with Sark to record the pregame interview before a game, and I always have my broadcast charts out, and we go over things, and this looked good, who might. And I remember him pointing to Deli and saying, and I still had him, you know, at that outside linebacker spot, and he goes, he's going to play. And then he drew a line over to the buck end and said, we're going to look at him here.
Yeah.
I remember that vividly. Deli Adeyeway always struck to me as one of the unfortunate unrealized opportunities. And maybe I overvalued what he could bring to the program, but it just injuries played a big part in it. He was hurt in and out, and it
couple of shoulder injuries.
Yeah, and just could never seem to get in a regular rhythm of being able to contribute enough to continue to play regularly every week.
This is why when we talk about the player development piece, injury prevention and recovery is maybe it may be the most important aspect of it that nobody talks about.
You know why? This is my opinion. I think the layman looks at injuries and says, well, what are you going to do about a broken arm? What are you going to do about
a torn ACL
or you know, whatever, a rotator or something, you know, whatever. What can you do about that? But there is a recovery and a rehab process that goes along with that, and a lot of it's up to the student athlete, how quick a healer he is and how hard he works to get back. Because we do hear the stories about how hard Kerstetter, other guys,
I'll get to him in just a second,
you know, work to get themselves available and healthy and can contribute again. You mentioned Marcus Tillman. Unfortunately, just unable to get himself in a position because of the severity of that knee injury to be able to contribute enough. Then there's those gray area cases where maybe a little more could have been done on this side. Maybe a little more could have come from the player. Those are sometimes nebulous answers for which we do not have.
So I said, if you say, we talk about all the time on Longhorn Blitz, myself, Matt Butler, and Rod Babers, you can say player development has been the issue at Texas the last 12 years. And I wouldn't disagree with that, but you got to understand, when you talk about player development, you're talking about that has a lot of tentacles out that reach out from it. I want to mention this real quick, and this leads into some of the All-Big 12 stuff. Avante Woodard went into the portal, and I started looking, Craig, at Tom Herman's wide receiver takes.
Yeah.
Just Longhorn fans, brace yourselves. If you need to punch your radio, please do so while you're parked, and preferably don't punch any of your components that will.
This will check your PTSD box for the day.
These are Tom Herman's wide receiver takes. 2017, Jordan Pouncey. Jordan Pouncey didn't play that many games for this program, transferred out. 2018, Avante Woodard, 7 catches in 4 years. He's now in the portal. Brennan Eagles, productive player. We know the roller coaster he was on. Left early for the NFL, wasn't drafted. Signed with the Cowboys, cut in training camp. Joshua Moore, we know how that deal ended this year. 2019, Brew McCoy never plays a down for Texas. Jake Smith plays 2 years, speaking of injury issues, and then transfers. Kennedy Lewis, I think, caught one ball the 2 years he was here, and then he transfers out. And then Marcus Washington's a guy that we've actually seen. He got feel like he was getting better towards the end of the year. Then you go to 2020, Kelvonte Dixon, who's in that realm of I think this staff really wanted him to take steps forward. They didn't necessarily see it. Troy O'Meary has been hurt the 2 years he was here, and so has Dejon Harrison. So if you look at Tom Herman's receiver commits, receiver takes, over a 4-year recruiting cycle, a 4-year stretch of recruiting cycles, not that great. Not that great. Leaving a lot to be desired.
If you remove the ones who were injured, let's say you completely remove them from the equation, say you cannot fault the coaching staff for that. Injuries happen, things like that, whether it's torn ACLs or broken bones and things like that. Even if you pull that out, though, the remaining group.
Yeah, as I said, you know, I wrote on the flagship message board at Horns 24/7 about the 2018 class when Woodard hits the portal.
Yeah.
I said, you can close the book on the 2018 receiver class, and it ain't exactly a bestseller. So there's that. And real, on the all Big 12 stuff, so Xavier Worthy, well-deserved Big 12 Offensive Freshman of the Year in honor, no problem with that. I'm breaking down the numbers. His season this year, Craig, it's going to be one of those years like when we talked about Devin Duvernay's 19 season or Jordan Shipley in 09. That go-to guy that gobbles up a bunch of yards was really the guy the quarterback looked for in terms of percentage of receptions, touchdowns, yards. It's one of the more productive seasons a receiver has ever had on the 40 acres. So well-deserved for Xavier Worthy, first-team All-Big 12 guy. Props to Derek Kerstetter, first-team All-Big 12 on the offensive line. Again, his senior day, media availability, telling the story, reminding us, you know, Sam Ellinger holding his leg 100% still on the plane back from Manhattan. Didn't know if he was going to play again, but just for him to come back and play, let alone come back and leave Texas as a first-team All-Big 12 offensive lineman, good for him.
Let me ask you a question about him.
Okay.
And I always like Derek, and we got a chance to talk to him a lot and all that sort of stuff and everything he went through. I was listening to Chad and Trey yesterday, and they kind of looked at it like it was a lifetime achievement award because the coaches voted on this. This engendered a great deal of conversation. You haven't even gotten to the running back thing yet and all the furor that's caused on social media. But I heard, Trey, that they were kind of looking at it like, the coaches, that's a reputation and sympathy vote for him. Did you feel that way?
Not for a first-team vote. For an honorable mention vote, I said, I was all-district honorable mention in high school. And that's when they kind of give you the lifetime achievement.
Right.
We're just tired of seeing this
guy. So you're saying Kerstedt earned it then?
Well, earned it from the standpoint that when you've got probably the most productive receiver in the conference and a legitimate, you know, first-team all-Big 12 running back like Bijan Robinson, somebody on that offensive line is probably going
to be doing
some
something.
Yeah. So even though the offensive line had – we know the issues this offensive line had. This was not a great offensive line. It's not a great year for line play at Texas.
Yep.
And I think you look through it, none of the other offensive linemen even got an honorable mention. But, again, I think, too, for the coaches to understand what he came back from. And was Kerstedt – it's one of those deals. Was Kerstedt great this year? No, but was he terrible? I didn't think he was terrible either.
And he had to move to different positions because of injuries.
So, I don't think it's not necessarily a lifetime achievement award, but I think this is the coaches – looking at, you know, you're voting for Worthy. You know you're voting for Bijan.
Somebody had to do
something. Somebody on that offensive line has to be worthy of some sort of honor somewhere.
Yep.
And Kerstedt ended up being the guy.
Okay.
But props to him. Cameron Dicker, first-team punter. No problem with that. Let's get to the Bijan thing real quick.
Yep.
Danny Davis took a lot of heat yesterday, and I like Danny a lot.
Yep.
And I think if you look at what Danny was trying to say and not necessarily the way the tweet came across, I see his point. There are
– for folks who don't know, the first-team offensive – the first-team running backs were Breece Hall, the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year, and Bijan Robinson.
Yes.
They were the first-team running backs. Anger coming from all corners, primarily from Waco and Manhattan. Waco.
And there were – look, can we just do this? And if he hears me say this, Alex Della Torre will drive down from the Metroplex and punch me in the face before the end of the show.
Okay.
Can we get rid of the fullback spot on the All-Big 12 team?
There were two fullbacks.
Can we get rid of it? And just, you would not have had an issue if you would have put, take away the fullback spot and make it a flex position or an all-purpose like the AP does. Whatever you got to do, just eliminate the fullback spot.
Okay.
I think that would save a lot of it. Because if you say Bijan Robinson and Breece Hall are your first-team running backs, but Deuce Vaughn is your first-team all-purpose player, I don't think anybody has a problem with that. Or if Bijan's your first-team all-purpose player and Abram Smith and Breece Hall are your running backs. I don't think there's a big complaint with that. But to Danny's point, there are four or five running backs in this league that you can make legitimate arguments for that are first-team All-Big 12
guys. I agree.
If Bijan would have been on the second team, I wouldn't have necessarily complained about it. I said, okay, I get it. But he's on the first team, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, you probably – no. If he's on the first team, great. That's fine. Good for him. He had a great year.
Well, the point is they're all deserving. Yeah, so whichever two you pick, the two who aren't selected – the fans and those who would push them are going to be upset that they weren't, because all four definitely are legitimately deserving. Now, fans can argue up and down, up one side and down the other, about who is more deserving, but they are all four deserving.
It's almost like you put those four names in a hat, draw two out, and those are your two first-team running backs. If Breece Hall would have been on the second team over if it had been Abram Smith and Bijan Robinson, I would not have had a problem with that.
But that wasn't going to happen with him being Offensive Player of the Year.
True. So, and again, this is the Big 12 coaches
this
voting.
This is the coaches
we'll
voting.
We'll see what the AP team looks like, but I don't – Bijan Robinson is deserving of a first-team All-Big 12 mention, and the fact that he's there, good for him.
And what caused such a firestorm, Danny tweeted that he thought, that Abram Smith was more deserving than
Danny said if he would have had the vote, it would have been Breece Hall and Abram Smith.
Right.
And I wouldn't disagree with that.
And then I read a lot of tweets from Manhattan, folks just outraged that Deuce Vaughn wasn't first team and said he was more deserving than any of the other
guys. Outrage is what I don't get.
Yeah, I know.
Again,
it's a bit much.
Four guys, put names in a hat, draw two out, and those are your two first-team running backs.
I get it.
But it's Bijan Robinson and Breece Hall, and congrats to Bijan. Very, very well-deserved.
All right. That's the notebook for this hour. I have another notebook coming up.
That was a meaty notebook.
Yeah, so there'll be that. And coming up next, Inconceivable, right here at Total Men's Primary Care, 620 in Anderson Mill. Toys for Tots Drive going on. please bring an unwrapped toy and donate that, and then register to win all kinds of great prizes. We'll recap that and more when we continue to light the tower on the horn.
Inconceivable!
You keep using the horn. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Well, I'll tell you, inconceivable can mean a great many things, and it means several things today on this Friday. And so I'm going to turn to my co-host to lead it off because he has an inconceivable item for us.
So last night, Craig, my wife and I, we met some of her family in Temple and went to dinner. We went to an establishment, Sol de Jalisco in Temple.
Yes.
And as we're headed, you know, it's right there off 35.
Absolutely. I've done that one.
And as we're headed there, my wife's uncle makes the point. He's like, well, you know why Sol de Jalisco is in the news lately? I said, I had no idea they were. And I get directed to this story, Craig. This happened a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
About a week before Thanksgiving, but it's still worth mentioning. Police arrested Amanda Nicole Martinez, 31, the woman accused of throwing soup in the face of a restaurant employee during a disturbance on November 7th at Sol de Jalisco.
Is that where it was? I remember we mentioned the story in Temple, but I didn't know that's where it was.
That's where it was, and this is where I ate. So Martinez is charged with assault causing bodily injury. She was placed under arrest and transported to Bell County Jail Wednesday morning. So the incident happened at 1:21 p.m. on November 7th at the restaurant located at 4201 South General Bruce Drive. Police learned Martinez had called to complain about an order she had picked up. After complaining, Martinez, quote, returned to the restaurant and started a verbal altercation. During the altercation, Martinez stated the soup she picked up was hot and the plastic lid placed on top had melted. Quote, according to the police report, she then proceeded to throw the soup at the victim and left before officers arrived. Martinez was reportedly
threw it on her face,
banned from the restaurant. Here's where the other inconceivable part comes in, though. So this is an inconceivable update. So my wife's uncle works at, you know, Baylor Scott & White in Temple. There's an employee there, one of the nurses, with this same name. So when this story comes out, she basically has to go to social media and say, I am not the person that threw the soup in the face of the employee at Sol de Jalisco. Please stop harassing me. I am not that person.
Different one.
Different person. So, yeah, so I ate at the restaurant where the restaurant employee got soup thrown in their face.
Kind of a smaller scale version of the poor Baltimore Ravens play-by-play guy whose name is Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah, there was that whole thing.
Yeah, and he's like, not that guy.
Did you see the bit, the Otis Anderson news this week? So Otis Anderson Jr., no relation to the former New York Giants tailback.
Right.
Otis Anderson Jr., former UCF player and a former, I guess he was still with the Rams.
Yep.
Was murdered this week.
Yeah.
Killed by his father. Well, people started tweeting at and sending messages to the Giants' Otis Anderson saying, you know, how could you do this, blah, blah, blah.
You played in the Super Bowl.
I said, I'm not the father of the young man who was murdered. My heart goes out to his family, but I am not. That is a different Otis Anderson.
Ugh. My name is with two T's.
Yes.
You'd think that would help. All right, a couple of things here. First of all, you weren't with us yesterday, but I felt it important to bring it back up again. You know, Burger King's selling Whoppers for 37 cents today and tomorrow.
Is this some kind of anniversary deal?
64. Burger King is 64 years old.
Are they bringing back the chicken Whopper for their birthday, Craig?
Sorry to say they're not doing that.
Well, then I will not be shopping, eating at Burger King.
Well, I you know, Snoop said he was going to do that. It's one at a time, Snoop. You can't go in like and buy six or something like.
No.
Bucky and Aaron said BK would do that. You know, he would go that, and not the BK at Burger King. It would be Brad Kellner. He would go in there.
Snoop, you got to have a Burger King hookup somewhere in this town.
The only one I know is up.